Just generally speaking, if a squad car is equipped with a camera, can you describe what the components of that system, how many cameras, whether there's microphones, things of that nature?
There was a main CPU, per se, because it's a computer-based recording system. So there was a CPU, there was a battery backup, there were two microphones and chargers. There was a forward-facing camera and a rear-facing camera. The forward was about a 45-degree cone out the front window, just right of the rear-view mirror. And the prisoner compartment had a camera that watched the transportation, or if you took somebody into custody, you were supposed to turn it on to monitor that transportation.
Okay, so if I understand you, there's one camera that points out in front of the squad, and there's one that captures the passenger compartment of the squad?
Yes.
Now, are the squad cars equipped with microphones?
Yes, they are.
Okay, can you explain how that system works?
The systems we had were set up for two microphones. The microphones actually could be used in any car, and they had to do what was called syncing. There was contacts that the microphone had to be touched to say, hey, I'm here, I want to talk to you. If you took them to another car, you would have to do it to another car. Once you synced it with one car, it wouldn't work with any other car. The charging bases were in the car, so the microphone stayed in the car. And when the officers got in, they were supposed to check the system out and put their microphones on their person.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about that. Are you familiar with what an officer is supposed to do when they first become on duty and get to their squad car as it relates to the squad cameras and microphones?
The understanding I have, I know when I left, they were supposed to go through the system, make sure all the components were working, and make a test video.
Okay, and that includes checking to make sure the microphones are working in sync?
That's my understanding.
Okay. And can you talk a little bit about how a video would be activated or captured?
An event video would be activated by either turning on the blue lights or the emergency lights. There was a button on top of the microphone that if an officer was outside the car and something seemed to be of a legal matter, they could hit that to start the event recording, or they could touch the monitor in the car that was usually mounted on the dashboard or from the ceiling.
Okay. So if they turn on their lights, it automatically activates an event video?
If the system is running properly, yes.
And then they can turn it on manually also with a button on their microphone as well as a button in the squad car?
Button on the monitor for the system, yes.
Okay. And you had mentioned an event video. Is there another kind of video?
Once the system is running and the officer has logged on, it does what's called buffer videoing. It videos video only while that system is logged on. So when it goes to shut off, that stops that buffering. When the lights, the button, or the monitor are touched to start a video, which is called the event video, it makes a mirror recording that video is held in a removable hard drive that only my section had the key to until it was uploaded, which the only place uploaded was in the district. But that buffer video is in there and stays in the car, and after approximately 24 to 48 hours is overwritten due to memory space.
And so if there's an event video, is there a time period that that it goes back and captures the buffer video?
Once the system is activated for event video, we go back 1 minute.
Okay, and so, for example, if an officer were to flip on his lights, it would go back 1 minute from before that?
Yes.
And is the purpose of that to catch potentially a traffic violation or whatever caught the officer's attention?
Yes.
Okay. And you indicated what activates an event video. What turns off an event video?
The only way to stop an event video is on the monitor. There's a stop button.
So there's a manual stop?
Yes.
So, for example, if you turn off your overhead lights, would that stop the video?
No.
I'm going to draw your attention to October 20th of 2014. Did you become involved in an investigation around 40th and Pulaski on that day?
Yes, I was notified about it.
Okay. And this was as part of your unit that goes out and deals with the squad videos, correct?
Yes, I always had an officer on call.
Okay. And on this night, you actually took that call, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And the call was to come out to 4100 South Pulaski and see if you could recover some squad videos, correct?
Yes. The videos can only be viewed by the person that they're made by in the car. and they're not uploadable until they get back to the district. So the only other way to see them is administratively enter the system, which myself and my squad had the rights to.
Okay. And let me ask you this. Is there any way on the scene to in any way alter the video to put things in that weren't there or to take things out that are there? And so you did you arrive in the area of 41 South Pulaski on the evening of October 20th of 2014?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do when you arrived?
When I first got there, the scene was still locked down with the ETs processing the scene. So as soon as they were done, I was given permission to go to the cars and check them for video.
Okay. And were you directed by the detectives on scene which cars to look at?
Yes.
And did they have you look at 5 cars?
I believe that was the number, yes.
Were you able to recover audio from any of the 5 cars?
I don't recall recovering any.
I'm going to direct your attention to car 813R, which was vehicle 8779. Did you look at that vehicle?
I believe that's one of them, yes.
Okay. And do you recall whether you were able to recover video from that vehicle?
I'd like to refresh my memory because I did create a supplementary report, so I don't want to misstate that I did or didn't do anything.
Is your memory exhausted?
Yes, please.
And did you write an email that that noted your findings?
I was commanded by my deputy chief at the time, yes.
And would that refresh your recollection as to what you did with each vehicle?
I believe so, too. Deputy Chief.
Okay, does that refresh your recollection as to what you did to each of those squad cars?
Yes.
Judge, I'm going to take Exhibit 223 from the witness. And so one of the vehicles you looked at was 813 Robert, which at that time was assigned to vehicle 8779, correct?
That's what, yes.
And do you recall whether you were able to recover a video from that squad car?
Yes.
And were you able to recover a video?
Yeah, I just stated yes.
And were you able to recover any audio associated with that video?
No.
And do you know why?
If I remember what I wrote in that email, sorry, there's many numbers and many things. It said that the microphones were in the glove box, I believe.
Okay. And was there also an issue with the batteries?
I believe it reflected it, yes.
Okay, and what was the issue with the batteries?
They were either removed or turned upside down.
And point of clarification, when you say turned upside down, does that mean installed the wrong way so they wouldn't work?
Yes, the contacts wouldn't be touching.
And both sides are allowed to ask questions concerning that point of clarification.
And is it like AA batteries, or is it like an electronic battery for like a computer, say?
It's an electronic battery. It's chamfered on one side with four contacts, I believe it was. Sorry, it's been 2 years since I've dealt with this a lot. And it fit in a certain way. The only bad thing is if you turn it over, it can still fit in.
Okay, but it wouldn't operate.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to show you, after showing defense counsel, what has been marked as People's Exhibit number 46. Take a look at People's Exhibit number 46. And do you recognize People's Exhibit number 46?
Yes, it's a video you showed me in prep.
Okay. And how do you recognize it as the video that we watched?
I signed it.
And does People's Exhibit 46, fairly and accurately have on it the video that you recovered from 813 Robert, which was vehicle 8779.
As I recall.
Your Honor, we would move People's Exhibit 46 into evidence, but would not ask to publish it this time.
Any objections?
No objection.
The identification marks will be stricken on People's 46 and will be moved into evidence. Proceed, sir.
Thank you. Did you also look at a vehicle that was assigned to beat 815R, which was vehicle 8489?
I believe so, yes. Okay.
And do you recall whether or not you were able to recover a video from that spot?
I don't believe so. Sorry, I did read it, but there's many numbers and many things that kind of...
All right, is your memory...
I mean, if I could go from my email, that would help.
Your Honor, I ask that the witness be allowed to refresh his recollection again from Exhibit 223.
Sure, Your Honor. Okay.
Thank you. Again, let me know when your memory is refreshed. And we are going to go through all of them, so... I know it's tough.
Remember it all, but I'm
okay.
Good.
And if you need to, just let us know. Judge, I'm taking People's Exhibit 223 from the witness. So again, returning to the vehicle that was assigned to 815 Robert, which is vehicle 8489. Do you recall whether you were able to recover any video from that?
No, I was not.
Okay. And so, if there's no video, is there also no audio?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know why you were not able to recover any video from 8489?
If I'm not jumbling up the things, the system had a very long video, and it was trying to process that. The bad thing about computers is where it saves information, like when you do a Word document or a spreadsheet or anything like that, if that memory is full, that is also the memory that does things for computers. It has the applications in it. So if it had a very long video that it was trying to process, it didn't have the space to do what it needed to.
Okay, and so you said it had a very long video. That very long video that it was processing had nothing to do with this case, correct?
As far as I remember, yes.
Okay, and so it was processing an old video, and instead of being able to capture video, it was going through that process?
Yes.
Were you also asked to look at a vehicle assigned to 822, that's the beat number, which was vehicle 8765?
Yes.
Do you remember whether you were able to obtain audio or video from that squad?
I believe that one was the one with the power issue or a reported power issue.
Okay. And so is that a no, you were not able to?
No, I was not.
Okay. You found that it had some sort of a power issue. Could you explain that?
There was no video on it. It was reported to me there was a power issue. There was no help desk ticket. When the officers did find a car with a problem, they were supposed to notify their sector sergeant, and he was supposed to call in a ticket to get the system looked at on the next available time that the text would be available. And I believe I put on there that I checked it, but it seemed to be working for me, so I don't know what the problem would have been.
Okay. But there was no video, correct?
No video.
Had there been a video, you would have been able to recover it?
Yes.
I'm next going to draw your attention to vehicle 845, Robert. That's a beat number, which was assigned to vehicle 6412. Did you look at that vehicle in the course of your investigation that night?
Yes, I did.
And do you remember whether you were able to recover video from that squad?
I believe that's the one that did have a video and it was blurred.
Okay. And you said that it's blurred. At some point, were you able to figure out why it was blurred?
Usually, if we respond to a scene like this, the standing directive was, if it's not working, try to get it working afterwards. So once I returned to the car after uploading the videos, I checked the car, and I believe it was a loose connector for the camera.
Okay. And so On the day, it captured a blurred video, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so, would that have shown up in the squad vehicle in the same condition? Would it have shown up blurry on the screen for the officers as well?
It should have, yes. Okay.
And you said that you were able to recover a video from that squad, but it was blurred, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Was there any audio associated with it?
No.
Do you know why there was no audio associated with the video?
Not exactly why. It could be a technical problem. It could be there was a problem with the mics. It should have turned on. When the lights are turned on in a squad car, there's indicators on the video, L for light bar, M1 and M2 for the microphones that are synced to it. So if you see a video without the M1 or M2, there's an issue why the mics weren't part of it.
And do you recall what started that video, what caused it to create an event video?
I believe it was a light bar trigger.
Your Honor, I'm from the defense counsel with the Marks and People's Exhibit 47. Showing the witness People's Exhibit 47. Mr. Beckbar, would you take a look at People's Exhibit 47? Do you recognize what People's Exhibit 47 is?
Yes.
And what do you recognize People's Exhibit 47 to be?
My signature on it again during prep.
Okay. And so is that a video again that you reviewed prior to your testimony today?
Yes.
Okay. And you recognize it because of your signature?
Yes.
And does that, People's Exhibit 47, does it contain a fair and accurate recording of the video that you recovered from 6412, which was assigned to 845 Robert?
As I remember.
Your Honor, I'd ask to move People's Exhibit 47 into evidence.
Any objection?
No objection.
All right, the identification marks will be stricken. People's number 47 will be moved into evidence.
Lastly, did you take a look at vehicle 8948, which was assigned to 841 Robert on that day?
I believe that was the last car, yes.
Okay. And do you know whether you were able to recover any audio or video from that squad?
No, I was not.
And do you know why?
I'd have to refresh my memory again, sorry.
No problem.
Any objection? Your Honor, again, I'm showing that the witness was then marked as exhibit 223. You let me know when your memory is refreshed.
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm taking exhibit 223 from the witness. Can you explain why you were not able to recover any audio or video from 8948, which was assigned to 841 Robert?
The officers reported that there was an error with the system. It wasn't working properly. When I checked it, an application was corrupted. It was called Mobile Recorder. Our computers work by Windows, which is the operating system. That could corrupt. But then, like, your Word on there or Excel or other applications that you would double click to open up to make a document, if that becomes corrupt, those don't work either. So in this case, Mobile Recorder is an application and that was corrupted and wouldn't start itself up, so therefore it couldn't record.
And so you were able to record or to recover video from two of the five squads but no audio, correct?
Correct.
Mr. Beckbar, there on one of the videos, is there some noise?
Excuse me one moment. Denise, could you come over here? You don't need that.
The video that was recovered from 840... Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize, Denise.
Denise, let us know when you're ready.
Denise?
Go ahead, Mr. Weinlein.
Thank you, Judge. On the video that was recovered from 845 Robert, which was 6412, was there some noise on the video that you recall?
Right now, I don't recall. I'm sorry.
Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing, sir?
How are you?
Hanging in there.
Aren't we all? With respect to some of the questions that you were asked, and you were asked about some problems with the in-car cameras, back in 2014, was it uncommon for squad cars to have inoperable in-car cameras?
No.
As a matter of fact, it was extremely common that vehicles had inoperable vehicle cameras, correct?
I don't know a percentage, but possibly yes.
Half the cars of the entire fleet?
At times it seemed like that, at times it didn't.
Okay. And you were asking questions about various videos that weren't working. I'm not sure what the purpose of the questions were, but...
All right, stop the editorial.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry. You didn't find any evidence of tampering by any of the officers with respect to those videos, did you?
Nothing that I would think of right now, or nothing I could prove.
Okay. Well, had you found evidence of tampering, you could have opened an investigation on it, correct?
That or the highest ranking on the scene, yes.
Okay. And no investigation was opened, or there was no formal allegations made against people for tampering with their videos?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Nothing further.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
State, call your next witness.
Your Honor, we call James Camblami.
I don't need it. Do you have it for me? Okay.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give before this honorable court and jury should be the truth, the whole truth, and the truth, self-guided?
Yes, sir.
Have a seat, please. All right, the microphone's live. You can adjust your seat. Pull your seat up to the microphone. Talk into the microphone. You can adjust the microphone, too. All right, proceed, Steve.
Thank you. Could you please introduce yourself to the jury and spell your name?
My name is Nordin Fanjani. They call me Nick.
And can you spell your name?
Oh, N-U-R-U-D-D-I-N. Last name is Panjwani, P-A-N-J-W-A-N-I.
And where do you work?
Dunkin' Donuts.
And where?
On 41st and Pulaski.
And how long have you worked there?
Since it's open, 2013.
And what do you do for the Dunkin' Donuts?
I'm the manager.
I'm going to go right into the surveillance system that the Dunkin' Donuts had. Could you explain how many cameras the surveillance system has?
There's total 16 cameras, 12 inside and 4 of them outside.
Okay. Do any of the cameras point out onto Pulaski?
One of them, outside camera.
And so does that capture the area right in front of the Dunkin' Donuts on Pulaski?
Yes.
And does that surveillance system have the ability to accurately record footage that would happen in front of those cameras?
Yes.
And how long is the footage stored for?
Stored for 45 days.
And then it's overwritten because of a space issue?
Yes.
And did you receive a call on the evening of October 20th of 2014?
Yes.
And did that involve coming to the Dunkin' Donuts on 41st and Pulaski to help police officers view some of the surveillance?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, arrive on the scene at the Dunkin' Donuts on that night?
Yes, around 12 midnight.
Okay. Did you help officers on the scene view the footage from your Dunkin' Donuts security system?
Yes.
Did you let the officers look at any footage that they wanted to?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to show you, after showing the defense counsel and the marked people who live at 45, you recognize what People's Exhibit 45 is?
Yes.
And did you view the content on People's Exhibit 45?
Yes.
And did it accurately contain the video that you showed the police officers on October 20th of 2014?
Yes.
And did you actually return the next day, October 21st of 2014, to actually make sure that the officers were able to get that video and take it into evidence?
Yes.
And did you allow them to take any video that they wanted?
Yes. Uh-huh.
To admit People's Exhibit 45 into evidence.
Okay. All right. The identification marks on People's Number 45 will be stricken. It will be moved into evidence. Thank you.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
No questions, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Herbert. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Who's your next witness?
Your Honor, we'll call Paul Reddick.
Thank you.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give before this honorable court and jury shall be true or false?
Have a seat. So as you know, the seat's adjustable, so if you pull your seat up to the microphone, and the mic's live, so you can adjust the mic. If you speak into it, everybody will be able to hear your testimony, and it will be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you, Judge. Sir, would you please state your first and last name and spell both for us?
Yes, Paul Reddick, PaulRettig.
And by whom are you employed, sir?
The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI.
And what capacity are you employed with the Federal Bureau of Investigations?
I am currently a forensic program manager. At the time I worked on this matter, I was a senior forensic examiner.
And were you asked to consult regarding the viewing of certain videos regarding the investigation into the death of Laquan McDonald that had occurred October 20th of 2014?
Yes, I was.
Specifically, sir, were you asked to view certain dash cam videos?
Yes.
Can I approach the witness, Judge? Can I approach the witness?
Yeah, no, I understand what you said. Can I have the attorneys over here for a second? Absolutely. Thank you.
Sir, can I hand you two exhibits? The first one I'll identify as People's Exhibit Number 46. Do you recall receiving that dash cam video regarding beat number 813, Robert?
Yes, I do.
And I also handed you Exhibit Number 47. Do you recall receiving that dash camera video regarding vehicle 845, Robert?
Yes, I do.
And do you recall approximately when you would have received those videos, Exhibits 46 and 47, sir?
Yes, I believe it was in March of 2015.
And when you received Exhibits 46 and 47, were you asked to do anything regarding those two videos?
Yes, I was asked for a comparison side-by-side videos of the two videos and then still images from the dash cam video.
Now, if I could approach again, Judge, with people who said 224. Was the mark is People's Exhibit 224. Do you recognize what that is?
I do.
And what is People's Exhibit 224?
These are the still images that I exported from the dash cam video.
Now, with respect to People's Exhibit 224, you said these are the still images that you exported from the dash cam video. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that would have, these were exported specifically from Exhibit 46-813 Robert dash cam video. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And when you say you exported the stills, can you tell us what you mean by that, sir?
Yes. So I created a copy of the video from Exhibit 46, the dash cam video, a forensic copy of that. So that's basically making sure that nothing is altered in the process of making a copy. I used forensic software, Video Focus Pro, it's commonly used by forensic video examiners, to create still images from the video. All video is a series of still images. The images move by in quick succession, so it looks like a moving picture. I was able to stop the video and pull out each individual field and frame of the video and save each individual picture as an individual file.
Now, prior to being...
I'm sorry, point of clarification. When you use the word export, what does that mean in common language?
So if you were to pause your VCR or your DVD player and you see one picture on the screen, I'm saving each picture. I'm basically pausing the video on every single picture in that video and saving that as a picture.
And that's what you mean by export?
Correct.
Thank you very much. And both sides are allowed to ask questions concerning that point of clarification.
And, sir, prior to being asked to consult on this death investigation of Laquan McDonald, had you previously worked with videos?
Yes.
Had you previously been involved in exporting slides from videos?
Yes.
And can you tell us what your experience was in doing that?
Yes, I started as a forensic examiner for the FBI in 2003, working with digital evidence. In 2004, I started basically an apprenticeship program as a forensic examiner in training, working on forensic video. I attended hundreds of hours of classes, both from private vendors and from internal training from senior trained forensic video examiners at the FBI. In 2006, I was certified as a full forensic video examiner, and I've worked hundreds of cases working in video forensics.
Now, with respect to your experience in working in video forensics, are you familiar with the term comparison or side-by-side videos?
Yes.
Can you tell us what that is?
Basically taking two videos from two different sources, two different cameras, and presenting them on the same screen side by side, and then syncing the videos up so that they play together in a close approximation of real time. So the camera on the left and the camera on the right show you two different views of the same events.
And prior to being asked to consult into the death investigation of Laquan McDonald, had you previously compiled side-by-side or comparison videos?
Yes.
And how many times had you done that prior to your work on this case?
I would estimate probably around 40 times.
And have you previously testified in court regarding your expertise in the area of forensic videography or videos?
I have, yes.
And can you tell us how many times, sir?
I think as an expert witness in video forensics, about five times.
Here, at this time, we would ask that Mr. Reddick be declared subject to cross-examination as an expert witness in the area of video forensics.
Okay. All right, I do declare that Mr. Reddick now is an expert and qualified to testify in the area of video forensics.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Reddick, were you asked regarding your work on this particular case to compose or compile a side-by-side video of the two dash camera squad videos, Exhibit 46 and Exhibit 47?
Yes, I was.
And can you tell us what procedure you used to do that?
Yes. I took the two video files, the file from each of those exhibits, and imported them into a program, Adobe Premiere. Adobe Premiere is a very commonly used video editing program. It's used not only in forensics, but also in video production of television, commercial, and movies. In using that software, I was able to place the videos side by side and align them so that they played together. At approximately the same time. So when you see an event in one video, you should see the same event occur in the other video at the same time. In using that software, I was able to preserve the images to the original videos without changing it or altering it to preserve the quality, the color, the content, and then save that in a format which preserved the video and protected its quality and content.
And were you able to, in fact, complete a compilation video involving the two dash camera squads, 813 Robert and 845 Robert?
Yes, I was.
Now, did you also receive a video of the Dunkin' Donuts in the area of Pulaski Road?
I did.
People's Exhibit 45, were you also asked to do a compilation or comparison video with People's Exhibit number 45 and People's Exhibit number 46, which was the dash camera video from 813 Robert?
I was.
And did you use the same procedure in completing your side-by-side comparison videos?
I did.
Now, you've had an opportunity to view People's Exhibit number 50, is that correct?
Yes.
And does People's Exhibit number 50 contain the two side-by-side comparison videos that you completed, that being one with Exhibit 46 and 47, and then one with Exhibit 45 and 46?
It does.
And does Exhibit number 50 accurately reflect the compilation and comparison videos that you created regarding your work in this investigation, sir?
It does.
And you've had a chance to view that prior to today, is that correct?
Yes.
Your Honor, at this time, we would move to admit People's Exhibit number 50.
Okay. The identification marks on People's number 50 will be stricken. It will be moved into evidence.
Your Honor, at this time, we would move to publish People's Exhibit number 50.
Any objection?
No objection.
All right, certainly.
Just a little assistance from Mr. Wiley, Your Honor.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
When you're about ready to publish, could you just let Jess know, and then she'll take care of the lights.
Okay, ready, Judge.
The video in back of you is not working. All right. That immediately in back. I don't know about the other side. I can't see. Mike? We'll get a little assistance here. All right, Jim. Okay, good.
Yes, Judge.
Okay.
Thank you. Sir, can you tell us what's displaying on the left side of the screen?
Yes, that is the dash cam video from the first car.
And when you say the first car, would that be Exhibit 47, 845, Robert?
That is correct.
And then what's displaying on the left side of the screen, sir?
That's the dash cam video from the second car.
And that would be Exhibit 46, 813, Robert, on the right side of the screen. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what are we seeing now on the screen, sir?
Here you can see the first car is slowed down, passing someone with the hood up on their vehicle, and then the car behind it, you can see that the brake lights are on that first vehicle from the second camera, the camera on the right. The car with the hood up is obscured right now, but as the video plays, you'll see that they pass that vehicle.
And what did we just see, sir?
Judge, if I can, I would object to this line of question. The video speaks for itself, and I know he's proper in the witness. We'll find out what he's seeing in the video.
Stay with your response.
Judge, he's showing and explaining how he synchronized the two dash camera videos. So that is the purpose in stopping it at various places, Your Honor.
This will help the jury better understand the evidence, so your objection is overruled.
What are we seeing at this point, sir?
So you see the front video, the video on the left of the screen there is pointed towards a Burger King. Those lights, the pink and orange lights there at the upper right, and then the rear camera, the rear car, the car on the right, it's somewhat blurry, but you can see the front car there right in the very center of the screen with the red tail lights, and you can see the times are slightly different. There was no way to sync up the clocks in the two different cars, so even though the events may have occurred at the exact same time, the clocks in the cars might be off by a few seconds, or a second in this case. So it looks like there are two different times, but they're not synced together.
Now, are you seeing the building that's depicted in the far ground on the left side of the screen also on the right side of the screen?
Correct. So if you look in sort of in the center, just a little bit off-center to the left there, you can see the pink and orange lights from the top of the Burger King.
And is this what you're referring to, sir, right there?
Yes.
And where is that? Where are those lights shown on the right side of the screen?
The right side, the right screen, you can see if you look where the vehicle is in the very center of the screen, just to the left of that, there's a pink and orange line. That's the building there in the center is the Burger King. On the left screen, at the top right-hand corner, the pink and orange lines of the top lights of the Burger King.
And so did you use these two, seeing that these buildings were both pictured on each dash cam video, is that what you used to try to synchronize the dash camera videos?
It was one of many objects that I used in the video to synchronize.
So that was one of the landmarks you used?
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. I paused the screen. Again, can you tell us what's showing on the left side of the screen?
Yes, you can see Mr. McDonald running in front of the vehicle on the left side of the screen. And then on the right side of the screen, it's difficult to see when the video is paused, but you can see a person moving in front of that vehicle on the right side of the screen.
And are you able to point to that image from where you are, sir?
On the right-hand side of the screen?
On the right-hand side.
Yeah, it's, the vehicle is, yes, the pink dot is just below the vehicle, and then the person running is just above that pink dot.
There's a bus showing on the right side of the screen, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Was that vehicle pictured on the left side of the screen?
The vehicle's on the left side of the screen has already passed that bus. But a few frames earlier, it was visible.
What landmarks or what marks are you using at this point to synchronize the two dash camera videos in exhibits 46 and 47, sir?
So on the left side, you can see a police vehicle arriving from the opposite direction with the blue lights on top. And on the right side, you can also see the same vehicle arriving from the opposite direction.
The video again. Can you tell us what's shown on the left side of the screen?
Yes, and I can touch this vehicle here matches the vehicle here. So you can see the same police vehicle arrive in both videos from the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. Once again.
Video. Can you tell us what's showing on the right side of the screen, sir?
Yes, you can see another police vehicle arriving from the opposite direction.
And is that vehicle, where I've stopped the video, is that vehicle depicted on the left side of the screen at this time?
I believe it's obscured behind the other vehicles at this point. And okay, now it's visible. It's arrived.
So the vehicle, tell us again what's shown on the screen.
Yes, so once again we can see a vehicle arriving at the same time on both screens that, where I've marked.
And again, that's what you, one of the items you use to synchronize the videos, is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, the vehicle that you previously pointed to on the left side of the screen, it's no longer there at this point, correct?
The vehicle that's visible in the left screen is no longer visible in the right screen, and the vehicle in the right screen is no longer visible in the left screen. Those are two different vehicles.
Okay. Tell us what's shown here on the screen, sir.
Yes, you can see multiple police officers walking around in this video. The vehicle that arrived later, the one on the right screen, the officers exited the vehicle and walked to the left and are beginning to appear in the camera on the left side of the screen.
grateful it's published in that portion, Your Honor. Your Honor, now publishing what would be the side-by-side of the Dunkin' Donuts and dash cam 813 Robert. Screen. Can you tell us what's being shown on the left side of the screen, sir?
Yes, the video on the left is the surveillance video system located at Dunkin' Donuts on Pulaski.
What's being shown on the left at this time, sir?
This is the left is still the Dunkin' Donuts video on Pulaski.
Now, there is a vehicle that was depicted on the screen on the right side prior to my pausing it. Do you see that vehicle on the left side currently?
No.
I paused the vehicle. What's depicted on, excuse me, I paused the video. Can you tell us what's depicted on the left side of the screen currently?
This is still the Dunkin' Donuts video. This is prior to the arrival of the police vehicles.
And then what's being shown on the right?
That is the dash cam video, one of the same views that we reviewed in the other video from the second vehicle.
What's being shown on the left side of the screen currently?
So that's the Dunkin' Donuts video, and here I believe we can see this police vehicle pulling into frame now.
Is that the vehicle pulling into frame on the left side of the screen?
Yes.
What is shown currently on the left side of the screen?
So that's the Dunkin' Donuts video, and we can see the officers exiting the vehicle.
And what do you see on the right side of the screen at this time?
You can also see the officers exiting the vehicle, that same vehicle.
Those are the pink dots you placed there?
Yeah, I've already marked this one with the pink dot, and then this vehicle is the matching vehicle in the Dunkin' Donuts frame.
Tell us what's shown in the left side of the screen.
This is another police vehicle that's arrived from the opposite direction. On the Dunkin' Donuts video on the left, this police vehicle arrived from the left-hand side. And then on the right-hand video, the dash cam video, that same vehicle arrived from further down the street.
What is shown on the left side of the screen currently?
So there we see the two police vehicles and the officers who have exited the vehicle.
Tell tell us what's shown on the left side of the screen?
We've seen several more police vehicles arrive, and there's one still in motion coming from up Pulaski.
Is the vehicle that you say is still in motion, is that vehicle shown on the right side of the screen at this
point? It is. That's the only vehicle that's in view on the right camera. It's the one that's actually already marked by a pink dot, but I will mark it again.
Now, the right side of the screen has shown that vehicle stopped. Do you know if anyone gets out of the vehicle, sir?
Yeah, that speaks for itself. Okay. And this is the second time you've shown the video on the right. All right, let's move on.
Yes, George. What is shown on the left side of the screen at this point, sir?
Again, this is the video from Dunkin' Donuts. I believe all the police vehicles have come to a stop here. You can see the last vehicle stopped there, the one that's depicted in the right-hand camera view.
Includes the publishing of People's Exhibit Number 51.
Are there any more videos?
Right. No, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Reddick, I previously had showed you People's Exhibit Number 224. Regarding the exporting of stills from dash camera 813, Robert, is that correct?
Yes.
And in addition to those stills electronically showing you previously People's Exhibits number 180 through 217, are those exhibit stills contained in the master exhibit of 224, People's Exhibit 224?
Yes.
And with respect to People's Exhibit 221, is that an accurate clip from People's Exhibit number 50 where you compiled your side-by-side video of the Dunkin' Donuts and dash camera 813, Robert?
Yes.
And those exhibits, People's Exhibit number 221 accurately reflects, it's just a clip out of the master exhibit, People's 50, is that correct?
Yes.
At this time, we would ask the identification marks be stricken with respect to People's 224 and ask that that be admitted into evidence.
All right, the identification marks on 220, People's 224 will be stricken and moved into evidence.
Your Honor, in addition, we would ask that exhibits 180 through 217, the identification marks be stricken and admitted into evidence.
Now, are these stills from which composite?
These are stills from People's Exhibit 224, Your Honor.
And 224 is?
It's a compilation of all of the stills from People's Exhibit number 46, which is dash camera 813, Robert, Your Honor.
Okay, what about People's number 47? Does People's number 224 contain those also?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, so 46 and then 224 contains the stills from 46, is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. And then now you want People's 180 to, what is it?
through 217, Your Honor.
All right. Any objections, defense?
No objection.
All right. Then those identification marks will be stricken. They'll be moved into evidence, but I'm not going to allow those to be published until I see how you're going to use them. All right.
Yes, and we're thank you, Your Honor. We're not asking to publish those at this time.
Okay, thank you.
And the other exhibit, Your Honor, was People's Exhibit 221,
right.
Which is a clip from People's Exhibit 50. We're not asking to publish that. We're just asking that it be admitted, Your Honor.
Any objection to the facts?
No.
All right. People's 221, which is a clip of the video, People's number 50, will be have the identification mark stricken and will be moved at that.
If I could just have a second.
Sure.
Mr. Reddick, when you compiled People's Exhibit number 24, can you tell us how many stills there are per second on the video that you compiled?
Yes, so there are actually 60 stills per second of video.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Nothing further, Judge.
Thank you. Cross-examination?
Yes.
Sure.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good.
Now, you said that the stills that you took, there were 16 stills per second?
60.
60.
60.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. And was that limited, or I'm sorry, that's a bad question. The stills per second, was that the result of the type of video that was being used? Do you understand that question?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And the answer is yes. It's based on that. That's how many images were contained in the video.
Okay. And certainly there's video with a greater amount of stills than 60 available, correct?
Correct.
And you would agree with me that the lower number of stills per second, then it's less likely to accurately capture the images on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. Because it might miss things, correct?
Correct.
There might be things in there that happen that just aren't caught on the camera, correct?
That's correct.
And in fact, watching a camera is not... It's not the same as somebody watching it with their eyes, correct?
That's correct.
There's many differences, or strike that. What are some of the inherent problems with video as opposed to seeing it with your own two eyes? Aside from the fact that it doesn't capture everything depending on the number of stills.
There are numerous differences. Your color may be different from a camera to your eye.
Distorts colors?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't know what its was. Is it human perception that would distort the colors, or would it be the camera?
A video system, a camera, might not capture the same colors that you can see with your eye.
But would they be the correct colors?
They may be incorrect or differ from what you see with your eyes.
Thank you. And both sides are allowed to ask questions.
Okay. Aside from not capturing everything and distorting colors, fair to say it distorts images in general, correct?
It may.
Okay. What else? Any other problems with video?
There can be interference from anything from a smudge on the lens to being out of focus. The camera could be out of focus. There could be weather conditions that it could be too dark, too much light in a camera could cause it to not capture the same image quality that you would see with your naked eye.
Okay, and not only the same image quality, sometimes a different image, correct?
Yes, the image will differ on a camera than what you see with your naked eye.
Okay.
Depending on circumstances.
In video evidence, it's two-dimensional, correct?
Correct.
And how does that compare with seeing something from your your human eyes?
If you have vision in two eyes, then you have depth perception. So you can see things in three-dimensionally, basically.
Okay. And you talk about depth perception. You would agree with me that one of the inherent problems with video is that it's difficult to judge proper depths on a video, correct?
It can be appear different than it would with your naked eye.
And that's because it's two-dimensional, correct?
Correct.
So distances are distorted, correct?
They can be.
Okay. Nothing further.
Thank you. Any direct?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you. State, could you call your next witness, please?
Your Honor.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah, sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to take about a three-minute break. So don't hold me to 3 minutes, but we'll just a short break. All right. Court's in recess.
All rise for the jury.
All right, they're taking another brief break to have a conference with the judge. You know, it's interesting, not all of the testimony is really scintillating. There's a lot of technical detail. There's also a lot of process in terms of having evidence put on the record. And so that's a lot of what we've been seeing. The last expert witness for the FBI, he's a forensics analyst of a video. You know, he spoke for quite a long time talking about a comparison between two different videos of the same sequence taken from different points of view. One was very blurry, the other was not. Then there was added in the video that was taken from the security camera at the Dunkin' Donuts earlier this afternoon. We heard the manager of that Dunkin' Donuts talking about how he worked with officers to show that video, which we took a look at ourselves. All of this is part of just building a case. It is the prosecution's opportunity at the outset of a trial to take a go at the evidence and present the best case that they can, and then the defense follows. So we're not getting a lot of meaty substance. We did earlier today when we heard from one of the two responding police officers who were the first on the scene who encountered Laquan McDonald for the first time, talking about how he looked like he was out of it, as the officer said, and then stabbed their tire of the car and let all the air out. He then mashed the knife, about a 3-inch knife, onto the window and caused a scratch, and then moved forward and then was asked a critical question: why did you not fire your gun? That officer did have his weapon out, but he did not fire it. The comparison being to why the defendant in this trial, Officer Jason Van Dyke, why he did fire his gun, not just once but 16 times. And he said, this other officer, that he did not feel there was really a threat there, that they were waiting for a taser to be delivered. They were simply trying to contain the forward movement of the individual to keep him away from a Burger King restaurant that was about a half a block away. And so he did not feel that there was a threat. But under cross-examination, when the defense started questioning the officer, you know, he was trying to make the point that there definitely was a threat, that there was a lot of tension in the air. The officer saying that it was like controlled chaos at the time. And the defense is also beginning to build its case where it's looking back in time, not just the few minutes around when this video was taken, but the previous 24 hours. This is that video that had been entered into the evidence earlier today. It is a central part of the case of the prosecution, simply that Officer Van Dyke had no cause to not just fire the weapon one time, but a full 16 times to kill this man, Laquan McDonald. And it is the defense's claim that we cannot just look at these few seconds that are part of a tape that goes on for just a few minutes, we need to take into account what had been happening the previous 24 hours, that the young man was in, I think it was described as some kind of a rage, and he was rampaging around the community, trying to build the case that he was a threat. When a truck driver called a 911 call in moments before the shooting, clearly people were aware that this guy had a knife and that he was walking around in a threatening or maybe just a semi-threatening manner, and felt that police had to be called in. So this is how the case will evolve. It's very challenging for us on the outside to see and hear one side present their arguments and then hear the counter arguments. Typically what happens is that you are listening to, say, the prosecution presenting its evidence and trying to draw conclusions, and you think, wow, that makes a good case, but then the defense sets up and you start thinking, well, those are good points as well. So it can be hard in the course of a trial to really know what the final outcome is, but once the trial is over and the jury has to reach a verdict, only then do you really get a good sense of what the preponderance of evidence suggests. And again, CLTV, we are covering this trial gavel to gavel each day until we do have a final verdict, even if it takes several weeks to get there. Let's take a quick break before we get back to the court proceedings. I'm Bill Mahler. This is CLTV News.
Legit comedy. Hey, how are you? I'm Dawn.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, Kendra.
I'm Dave Sinker, and I'm the owner and comedy czar of the Comedy Shrine.
Dave, can I send Kendra in to save us?
Yeah, the workshops are going to start in a little bit, okay?
Perfect. See you soon. We're going to take the stage to practice some improv.
A lot of people think, oh, I have to be funny.
Yeah.
Funny will come if you listen and react to what the other person is saying. Okay?
I'm not a great listener. That's actually my first
Well,
listener.
Then just, out of your head and okay. Just have fun.
I think I'm ready.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
terrified.
Me too.
Acting is reacting. Everybody be very friendly.
Once I opened the doors and I started seeing and feeling my palms sweating, that's when I knew, Houston, we have a problem.
All right, guys, welcome to the improv workshop. Let's have everybody up on stage.
What? There's no even warm-up? We're just right away up
there? You're all going up on stage.
I think the stage is the part that makes me as freaked out. Like, if we were down there doing this, I don't think it would be as nerve-wracking.
Okay, what's going to happen now is you're going to come up to the car as a hitchhiker. Whoever is the hitchhiker controls the scene.
Well, let's make sure we give him room.
Okay. You go back, you move over. Excellent. You're the new hitchhiker.
Oh my God, I had the worst day. My boyfriend just broke up with me. He cheated.
Hit that knock.
The whole group was so supportive that I didn't feel like I was out on my own at all. I felt like I had a big, just troop of friends.
So now what we're going to do is an improvisation game called Freeze Tag. Two actors are on stage. They begin a scene.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
There you go.
It's so good to see you.
I don't recognize you after the sex change.
What do you think?
At some point during the scene, one of the actors in the back line will yell, freeze, freeze!
Oh, I was like, tap me!
And start a whole new scene.
Okay, look, Ivanka, here's the problem. Everybody out there thinks you're better than me.
I told you
so many times, not the hair. They're gonna know it's fake.
Freeze! Because I like this. Thank you.
There you go.
It looks so beautiful.
You think so?
Yes, look in the mirror. Do you like the color?
Oh my God, I love this.
I know. It's so great. You definitely have to have people who are willing to be spontaneous and who are willing to be a little self-deprecating and laugh. You loosen up, you have a good time, and you really, I think you get to know your friends even more because you see how funny they are.
Bravo! Woo! Bravo!
It's getting harder and harder for us sheep to get work these days. People don't want to count me jumping over their beds anymore. They want to stay up late. Why, you ask? It's that nightcap they got over at WGN. Three great comedies all back-to-back starting at 10:30. Sure, good for people who like a little late-night entertainment, but bad bed for a sheep like me.
The WGN Nightcap, weeknight starting at 10:30, presented by Ryan Kelly, the homeloanexpert.com.
I should have gone into accounting.
Do you know a teacher who uses innovative techniques in the classroom or has made unique contributions to the community? WGN wants to honor their achievements by naming a Teacher of the Month. Go to WGNTV.com to nominate your teacher. The winning teacher school will receive a $1,000 donation for school supplies from Kenneth J. Allen Law Group and be featured on WGN Midday News and WGN News at 9. Watch for the Teacher of the Month on WGN News, sponsored by Kenneth J. Allen Law Group. Passion, commitment, excellence. Get the forecast in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. only on WGN News at 10.
You are watching live continuing coverage of the People versus Van Dyke. That is the murder trial of CPD officer Jason Van Dyke in the murder of Laquan McDonald, which took place nearly 4 years ago. It was October 20th of 2014. And we are been hearing testimony here on the first day of the actual hearing after the jury was seated last week from so far seven witnesses. And it looks like the judge just wants to keep pressing forward. We're covering a lot of ground. Most of the witness testimony so far today has not been all that dramatic. We've heard from a dispatcher who called for the officers to first go to the scene after taking a 911 call from a trucker who had seen McDonald with a knife, thought he was a threat, and therefore called police about it. We've heard a forensic expert discuss the differences between different angles of video that we were looking at and the fact that a number of still pictures were taken from the video. Some of this material will be introduced later. And we heard the first witness really didn't speak very long. She was the great aunt of Laquan McDonald. And so we're not really getting a clear sense of the preponderance of evidence. But as Paul Lisnick was saying earlier, we do get a sense of the thrust that the two sides are taking. And they begin with what the opening statements were, which indicated from the prosecution that they were saying that this is a completely unjustifiable shooting. And the opening statements from the defense, who said that this shooting, this is the video that we've seen so many times that was entered into evidence that the jury saw twice today, that this shooting of Laquan McDonald, which takes place in about just a handful of seconds from here, was justified because of the fact that he was a threat. No matter what that video shows, that the police were feeling that there was a very tense atmosphere at the time. He had stabbed the tire of a squad car, letting the air out. He had hit the front windshield of a squad car with his knife. There were reports by individuals that he looked threatening, and for the previous 24 hours, he had been on some kind of a rampage through the neighborhoods, as it was described. So these are two views of what we seem to see and maybe conclusions we have drawn about this video that will be drawn out over the course of the next week, two, or three as different witnesses are brought forward to speak and as different points of evidence are entered into the record. So, it's really interesting to have this opportunity to be able to watch this trial. If you find the testimony of the moment isn't all that interesting, I really advise that you come back periodically through the day because we've already seen some rather dramatic testimony from one officer, Joseph McEllicott, who was one of the first on the scene with his partner. They are both, though, one of three officers who have been charged with covering up this shooting. That is a separate trial that will take place at some other date. But he talked about when he was walking and following McDonald, trying to keep his distance. He never felt really directly threatened, but he's talked about the fact that McDonald was walking in kind of a halting way. He would move forward. He would step back a little bit. He said he seemed to be somewhat out of it. And then he attacked the windshield of the car. And he also talked about the fact that they had called for a taser. They wanted to contain him and not necessarily escalate the situation. All right, let's now go back to the courtroom in Judge Gaughan's court and see where we are.
Thank you.
Come on up, ma'am, officer. Have a seat, and then the microphone's live. The seat's adjustable. Pull yourself up to the mic. little bit closer, and then speak into the mic, and you can adjust the mic. All right, proceed, State.
Thank you. Officer Fontaine, could you please introduce yourself to the jury and spell your name?
My name is Officer Fontaine, Officer Dora Fontaine, D-O-R-A-F-O-N-T-A-I-N-E.
And where do you work?
I work for the Chicago Police Department.
And are you here today testifying pursuant to a grant of use immunity?
Yes.
And Your Honor, with the court's permission, I would ask to read that order into evidence, or into the record.
Well, will you going to stipulate to the order?
Yeah.
All right. You're going to stipulate or you're going to object?
I'll stipulate that she has immunity.
All right. That's enough. All right. So, all right. Don't read the order.
And so you indicated that you worked for the Chicago Police Department. How long have you worked for the Chicago Police Department?
16, going on 17 years.
And what do you do for them currently?
I'm a patrol officer.
And what district are you in?
8th District.
And what's your day-to-day now?
My day-to-day, I'm in review right now.
And what do you do in review?
In review, I just go over the forms, all the reports that come in the night before.
And were you employed by the Chicago Police Department on October 20th of 2014?
Yes.
And what was your role then?
I was a patrol officer.
Okay. On what shift?
We call it midnight.
Okay. And what hours does that encompass?
That would be from 9 p.m. to 6:30 a.m.
And were you working the midnight shift on October 20th of 2014?
Yes.
And were you partnered with another officer?
Yes.
Who was that?
His name was Officer Veramontes.
And was that your standard partner?
Yes.
And were you assigned a specific beat?
Yes.
Can you first explain what a beat is?
A beat is a car that is assigned to a certain location on the streets.
And do you recall what your beat number was on that night?
Yes.
What was it?
It was 841 Robert.
And so that's assigned to a specific area?
Yes.
Okay, what area is that?
It would go from Harlem going west to Pulaski going east to the expressway going north to 87th going south.
And do you recall approximately what time you arrived at work on October 20th, 2014?
I'm not sure because we start at 9, so maybe 8:30.
Okay. And what do you do? What did you do when you arrived?
When I arrive, we have to change into our uniform, get our equipment, and go into roll call.
Okay. And what's roll call?
Roll call is like an attendance where they take attendance of the officers and they give you the information of your beat.
And so what did you do after you attended roll call?
After roll call, we get our equipment.
And what equipment did you get?
A radio, car keys, and a beat tag.
And what's a beat tag?
A beat tag is just saying the numbers of our beat that we're going to work for the night.
Okay. And what do you do with the radio that you got? You said you picked up a radio?
Yes.
What do you do with the radio?
We have to wear it on ourselves.
Okay, so that's on your person?
Yes.
And so after you got your equipment... Well, let me ask you this. Did you have a taser?
No.
And did your partner, Veramontes, did he have a taser?
No.
And why not?
They didn't have any.
Who's they?
The department didn't have any. They only have a certain amount.
Okay. And so once you got your equipment, where did you go?
We went to our car.
Okay. What do you do once you get to the car?
We inspect it.
You know, then they turn the key on, and then they do this. Come on. All right, let's get out.
Are you supposed to do something once you get to the car related to the squad video?
Check it for damage, if the equipment works or not.
Okay, and did you do that on that night?
Yes.
Okay, and what did you find?
We found out that the camera didn't work. It had a ticket number.
Okay, and when you say it had a ticket number, what do you mean?
A ticket number is when it's not working and it's... assigned to be fixed.
Okay. And so that indicated to you that the camera wasn't working, correct?
Yes.
When the camera doesn't work, there's no audio either that's recorded, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. And who drove that night? Was it you or your partner?
My partner.
Okay. And at some point, do you leave the station?
Yes.
Okay, and where's the first place you go?
We went to Dunkin' Donuts.
And was that at 59th and Pulaski?
Yes.
So obviously that's different than the one that's on 41st and Pulaski?
Yes.
And while you're there, do you hear a call, or are you made aware that another unit needs assistance?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you become aware of that?
My partner.
And so he indicates that there's another unit that needs assistance?
Yes.
Does he tell you where?
Yes.
Where is the unit that needs assistance?
41st and 40, between 40 and 41st and Pulaski.
And do you know what type of assistance they're asking for?
Someone with a taser.
Okay. And again, you don't have a taser in your vehicle, correct?
No.
Did you still proceed to the scene?
Yes.
Why?
Anytime officer is asking for assistance, everybody still goes if you're close enough to assist in whichever assistance you can give.
Okay. And so did you and your partner drive to the area of 40th and Pulaski?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you get there?
In the car.
Which direction?
We were driving south on Pulaski.
And do you know approximately how long it took you to get to the scene?
5-7 minutes.
And were you proceeding with your lights and sirens on?
Yes.
When you did arrive on the scene near 40th and Pulaski, did you see any other police vehicles on scene?
Yes.
About how many?
A couple.
Could you give me a little more detail than that?
I'm not precise, but maybe about 3 or 4.
And as you pulled up, did you see a subject in the roadway?
Yes, I did.
And did you later learn that that subject was Laquan McDonald?
Yes, I did.
Do you hear anything as you're pulling up?
I don't remember.
All right. As you see Laquan McDonald, what is he doing?
He's walking southbound, swaying a knife. And
okay. And when you say swaying, what do you mean?
Swaying back and forth.
Okay. So the knife, where is the knife?
The knife is on his body in front. And should I show you?
Sure.
He's swaying the knife.
Your Honor, let the record reflect that she put her arm in front of her, across her body to the left, and then back to the right by her side at about, I would say, waist level. At some point, do you see him fall?
Yes.
Okay, when's that?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Do you hear any commands being given to him?
Yes.
Okay, and what do you hear?
I hear, drop the knife.
Okay. And is that before he falls or after he falls?
Before.
Okay. At some point, did you hear gunshots?
Yes.
Okay. When did you hear that in relation to when he fell?
I'm not sure.
As he's walking southbound, and you had indicated swinging the knife, where exactly are you? Are you in your car, out of your car?
I'm not sure.
Before you see him fall, did you see him raise his arm as if he was attempting to stab anyone?
No.
Did you see him attack anyone?
No.
Did you see him make any aggressive movements at all?
Besides swaying, no.
Did you see him walk, run, or charge at any officers?
No.
When he was swaying his arm with the knife, was he ever within arm's reach of any officer?
I couldn't see.
You said that he was swaying a knife.
Yes.
Did you see the knife?
Yes.
How did you know it was a knife?
I've seen knives before. It looked like a knife.
So based on your experience, this was clearly a knife?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd ask to publish a video that's already been admitted into evidence as People's Exhibit 221.
Any objections?
No.
All right, certainly.
Can I just roll it? Or?
Yeah, sure.
Officer Fontaine, I'm going to ask you to watch People's Exhibit number 221. Did you recognize yourself on People's Exhibit 221?
Yes.
And who were you?
I was the officer coming in front of the camera.
Okay, so there's a video that's on the left, correct?
Yes.
And there's a video that's on the right?
Yes.
And so you were depicted on the video on the left, correct?
Yes.
You're the officer that leaves the passenger vehicle of the squad car that's depicted and walks towards 845 Robert, correct?
Yes.
And is that a fair and accurate recording of what happened that night?
Yes.
Sustained. You have two videos, so it's a compound question, even though it's not expressed that way. So be a little bit more, rephrase, be a little more particular.
Right. And so does People's Exhibit 221 accurately depict the time sequence of those two videos?
Objection.
Overall.
At the time, I didn't know the time frame of when it occurred.
But the time frame is accurate as far as you can tell?
Oh, yes, what occurred, yes.
And both of those videos, you have no reason to believe that they're not accurate recordings, correct?
Correct.
Do you know, and we can watch it again if you need to, were you in your vehicle or out of your vehicle when Laquan McDonald fell? Do you want to watch it again?
Yes.
Judge, I'm republishing People's Exhibit 221. Whether you were inside the vehicle or outside the vehicle when the Laquan McDonald fell?
No.
You don't know? Okay. All right. And after you exit the vehicle, where do you go?
In front of 845 Robert.
And is that towards Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
And do you ever draw your weapon?
No.
Do you ever shoot your weapon?
No.
As you're walking towards Laquan McDonald, is he continuing to be shot?
Yes.
And did you see...
Sorry, do you want the lights on or are you going to show them?
They can be on, Judge.
Okay, thank you.
As you're walking towards him and he's continuing to be shot, do you see anything coming out of his body?
I don't recall.
Okay. As you were moving towards him without your gun drawn, do you see smoke coming up from his body?
Yes.
As he's on the ground, do you see him do anything threatening or aggressive?
No.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Cross-examination.
And I'm not meaning to pick on you, but I think you said that you were headed south from the Dunkin' Donuts where you got your notification. You were headed north, right?
I was heading north.
Okay.
Sorry.
And you testified a number of times, or you testified in June 24, 2015 in front of the federal grand jury, correct?
I don't recall.
Well, if I showed you a transcript of that testimony, would that refresh your recollection?
Yes.
Judge, I'll mark this as defense number one for identification.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
That marks as offense number one for identification. That appears to be the cover sheet of the transcript of that testimony. Does that refresh your recollection about when you were there?
Yes.
Okay. And you were there on June 24th, 2015, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, you were asked several times during that testimony about whether or not you considered that Mr. McDonald to be still a threat when he's on the ground.
Objection, Judge. Improper impeachment. Let's have a sidebar on this, please. Yeah, please, thanks, Gloria. I mean, Denise, I'm sorry.
They call it a sidebar. It's when the judge wants to confer with the attorneys from both sides. The witness is Dora Fontaine. She's a police officer, and she was one of the officers who responded after the call initially went out. She did not have a taser, but as is the protocol, did respond to the scene and was being questioned pretty in detail matter as to exactly what she saw. She had earlier said that the camera in her car was not functioning, but she'd also said it did not appear, under questions from the prosecutor, that McDonald appeared to be any kind of a direct threat to officers. She did hear them repeatedly tell him to put his knife down, but otherwise did not feel that he was being aggressive, charging officers, or in any way was a direct threat. She is now under cross-examination, which means that the defense attorney is getting a chance at her, and they're trying to discuss a matter in terms of her grand jury testimony, so we don't quite know where this might lead. Paul Lisnick, our resident attorney and political analyst, is here with me. This testimony under a grant of what's called use immunity, that I guess implies that she had been granted some measure of immunity for the testimony that she's giving.
Bill, that's exactly right, and the key word is the use of immunity for a measured area. So there's a certain part of this where they have come to terms and said, yes, we'll not go after you when you talk about certain things here. It looks like they're coming back.
All right, here's one of the defense attorneys again to resume questioning.
Thank you. say, Mr. Rupert?
Yes. I'll rephrase the question. Do you remember testifying in that grand jury that any time, even though he's on the ground...
I'm sorry. Do the question and answer, please.
Oh. I remember being asked, and I wanted to ask you, Officer Fontaine, based on your training and experience, as the subject is lying on the ground here, is he any longer a risk of likely death or serious physical injury to you? Your answer was, he still has a weapon. As long as he has a weapon, yes. Is that your answer then?
Yes.
That'd be your answer today, right? As long as he still has a weapon, he's a danger.
Yes.
In fact, you were asked that same question about 10 times in that examination, right?
It's just a...
And who put that video up there?
Exactly.
Pardon?
Yes.
Officer, speak into the microphone so people can hear you.
Yes.
And he's on the ground, correct?
Yes.
So you didn't see any of that shooting, did you?
I don't remember.
You can turn the lights back on. Thank you. And you don't know how many shots you actually saw after you got out of the car, right?
Correct.
Can I just have a moment, Jeff?
Sure.
Another break, and let me just remind you that we understand this very well could be the last witness. He is the eighth witness of this day. If so, we will have a, she's the eighth witness. We'll have a wrap-up, Paul Lisnick and I, and then we'll hand it over to the Rokan Show on WGN Radio. They also have guests, and we'll be doing a half-hour wrap-up. All right, now he's, again, speaking. Let's listen.
On all the video screens right now. That's the end of the video, correct? Can you tell?
That I can't tell.
So I'm going to play it for you again, okay? And so, right now, LaPont McDonald's on the ground and you're already out of the vehicle, correct?
Yes.
And then for the rest of that video, you continue to walk towards the Paul McDonald without your gun drawn, correct?
I stop, but yes, I'm looking at McDonald.
I'm sorry, I don't understand
you. You said walking towards the body. I didn't go all the way to the body.
Right, so you don't get all the way up to it, but
yes.
The entire time you're in the frame, you're walking towards it without your gun drawn, correct?
Yes.
And the only reason he's a threat is because he has a 3-inch knife in his hand?
Objection.
Because there's an objection to my...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. All right.
Objection.
All right, I didn't hear the question. Go ahead.
Is the only reason that you could even characterize him as a threat at all is because he has a 3-inch blade in his hand?
You can answer that. The objection's overruled.
Yes.
He didn't make any threatening movements, did he?
Just talking about on the ground, just trying to get clarification.
All right. Rephrase state.
Did he ever, that you saw, make any threatening movements?
I'm going to check, Judge. Just
she talked about swaying, and I don't know if he's talking about the swaying or when Mr. McDonald.
All right, rephrase, Mr. Wilde. All
right, so you indicated that he was swaying the knife, correct?
Yes.
Other than that movement, did you ever see him do any threatening movements?
Can you specify, like, threatening?
Well, you already testified that he didn't make any threatening movements, right?
Exactly.
And so the only reason he's a danger when he's on the ground in your mind is because he has a 3-inch blade in his hand, and you've clearly identified that as a knife, correct?
Yes.
I have no further questions, Jim.
Thank you. Anything else?
No.
Thank you. Officer, you can step down.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to the jury concerning safety. The defense and prosecution are allowed to be in, but and our court reporter, which will be sealed. Because it is a safety issue, it can't be open to the public, otherwise it jeopardizes safety itself. So, thank you. All right.